This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
You know, it's funny how, you know, through the years, you've started your business and your kids always, you know, are always going to be part of it just de facto because it's what you're doing. So like my kids can't wait to invest. You know, they know what I've done here at the Norris Group. They know, you know, the knowledge that I have and the things like that. They're like, oh, you know, like my Lucas, he wants to be a doctor. And he's like, but, you know, I'm going to buy houses. I'm going to buy houses, you know? And so it's really cool. And it's, you know, you start a business and you start slowly, you know, brought your sons into the business too.
Well, Greg had great expertise already in building. He was, worked as an electrician, then became a journeyman, then became a superintendent of major projects in LA, like high rise stuff. So he knew construction. For him to do 93 houses was a vacation. That's no joke. For me, it was overwhelming. For him, I got this. So that was great. So, you know, when Greg came to do that, that was a big deal for the company. And then he got into the trustee sale business and took care of all of that. So I never had to see any houses. He was so good at looking at the house and knowing how much it would cost to fix. It's crazy. You know, I don't know that anybody's ever done what he's done. He literally could walk through a house and then go in the car and make the list of what the cost was and what the parts were, order the parts from Home Depot and have them delivered on a pallet. Who does that? Crazy. When you bid our work, you were bidding the labor portion of the job. There was no profit margin on the parts. We bought them at cost. I wouldn't have known to do that. There's no way.
Well, it's funny because, you know, he went so hard and so fast that he retired before you did.
Yeah, that's right. He's in his last year of law school, man.
Now he's just doing it because he wants to.
Yeah, well, he's got the rental stuff and all that. That's what he does now. But yeah, that's having sons come into the business. That wasn't part of their plan. It wasn't part of my plan. It just happened that the parts intertwined. And the same with Aaron. You know, when Aaron came on board, it was a pivotal moment for the company. I had started to speak nationally. And I can't say that I enjoyed it. And I also really thought, wow, I have to dumb down the information I know because it's really specific to California. And I decided I didn't want to do that. At the time, we had a promoter who was promoting the seminars. And I basically said, we're not going to go national. We are going to stay in California and own that space like nobody else. And they were pretty upset. But when Aaron came over, we created 5 courses that were a direct hit to the California market that no one could compete with. They didn't have the specificity of this chart in California means you do this activity as a buyer. No one could touch it. And the way Aaron made the books look was just insane. Nobody could touch the quality of our materials. And it was fun to be a part of that. But the California crash book was the first one that came out, that 400 page book.
Well, the comeback was the first one.
Well, the comeback was not put together by Aaron. That's why it looked the way it did.
that's his PDF, black and white, that I'm holding up right here.
That's right. Yeah. So when the crash came out, I remember the audience, and there were you could hear audible gasps as they opened up the book. It was like, welcome to Goldman Sachs, man. It was so cool. And Aaron coming aboard changed the direction of the education business, the quality of everything he touched. And then we get into the charity event because that's what Aaron's dream was. And that's the cool thing about having your sons. I'm sure that's the thing. One of the things Aaron wanted to do was make sure he added value to the company, not that he worked for a dad that was successful. Well, Aaron and Greg made Bruce Norris more successful than he would have ever been. I get a lot of credit because I own the company, but a lot of the brain work and the talent came from my sons. And Joey, I know that Aaron admired your character, and that's how you joined. You didn't know anything about our business. He just knew who you were. And hey, that's why we have the reputation we do.
You know, and you know, it makes me think about, you know, the doors that, you know, us giving back opened up for our company and for the radio show. Would you ever have dreamed that you would have met some of the people you would have met if it wasn't for I Survived or things like that?
No, it would never have happened. It would never have happened. When I got invited to go, I think Doug Duncan invited me to a one-on-one meeting with either the president or the CEO of Fannie Mae. So I'm flying to Washington, D.C. You know, I'm just like, this is pretty cool. a guy with a high school diploma is going to have a one-on-one meeting with the top guy of the top lending world in the world. That was crazy.
You know,
been a fun journey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's been a journey that's helped, you know, raise over $1 million for, you know, charities over the years. And it's, you know, it's going to be fun to do it again at the end of the year in October, October 27th, everybody. So don't forget about that. You know, one of the things that you always talk about is, you know, being super competitive. But along with being competitive, it's not just being competitive, but it's being competitive with the right kind of people, right?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to just hang around people that have raised the bar in my life. John Stevenson being one, Sensei Paliuso at USKO, another, Mike O'Neill, who was a sensei there too, but you know, he was in the property management business. I worked out with him. Really intense guys. I mean, really intense guys that wanted to get great at something. And when you hung around them, first of all, you had to hang in there. Mike O'Neill and I worked out with weights first time, and I came back the next day, and he had this almost puzzled smile on his face. I said, "What's that about?" He said, "You're the only one that's ever come back." Well, that's where I want to be, you know, where it's not easy. So, and we had other people come and, "Hey, can I join you?" And yeah, they were throwing up in the trash can, you know, about 45 minutes later. And it was, but if they came back the next day, oh, respect, you know, we're all in with you, pal.
Yeah.
So yeah, intentionally looking for those people that inspire you is a smart idea. Really, it really is, because sometimes you don't think on that level until you see it and then go, "Huh, okay. I mean, I think if he can do that, I can do that."
You know, these guys become your de facto fraternity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just went to Florida, flew overnight, spent a fair amount of money to attend a meeting. Why? Because John Stevenson had taken a picture with this guy and sent it to me on my phone. And as a guy, it's Patrick Bet-David with Valuetainment. I really love what they're up to. I really love their intent. And I wanted to meet him. I wanted to earn the right to be on their podcast. Okay. So his top guy just sent me a text this morning, Joey. He really did. He really did. It was very cool. I can't open it right now, but he said, "I really love your material." I said, "Oh, cool." So now I know that he's serious. He wouldn't have given me his email, because these guys are like really. Sure. Yeah. So he gave me his direct email. Wow. And so I sent him some information, and I told him what my intent was. You know, I got two things I'd love to do. I'd love to earn the right to be on your podcast. And number two, I'd love to be a regular contributor to what you guys, the conclusions you come to. You know, I'd love to be part of the filter that, and so I think that's going to happen, man. That's pretty cool.
Well, because nationally, you know, real estate doesn't take the huge swings, right? But California always has. And so it's been a different, you know, you've had to look at things differently, and, you know, people get so caught up with the recency, you know, they get recency bias, right? But you're looking at 30 and 40 years, right, of data.
Well, and also a repetitive theme. So you're right. California has exaggerations. But when you look at, and you've put together the charts, the national chart, if you do a moodometer, rhymes just at a lower level.
Yep.
Okay. As does Florida. So, okay, that's perfect. Why? Well, because the human is participating in it, doing the same thing. Are they more likely to buy when it's rock bottom? No. They're more likely to buy when it's the crazy mood of 2020.
Isn't that funny how we think about that? It's like, you're getting a great deal. Okay, well, hold on. Why am I getting this great deal? Like, what's wrong with it?
Oh, well, absolutely. I remember speaking in front of clubs, and this was, I mean, right at the pits, 2009, where Moreno Valley houses were, you know, were 365. Greg was buying them for 65 grand. Why were we buying 65 grand out of the MLS? Because no one else wanted it at 66. Think about that. Two years before that, it was a bidding war to get it for 365. And 300 grand later, oh, no, I'm going to wait that till it comes down. Really? Are you kidding? But it's that emotional cycle. If you can understand that, then you can avoid a lot of stuff. See what's interesting, last year's report and this year's report really are dealing with something we've never had before. And that's what's kind of fun, uncharted territory. So we've got, well, we'll talk about that when we go over the seminar, but we've just got this unbelievable gift where everybody owes money at 2 or 3% mortgages. When interest rates literally have gone up by, what, now they're 7%, they were 2.5%. They've almost tripled, Joey. And you have so little price damage because that stuff is not coming on the market.
Yeah.
And that's a lifesaver. But it's also, then you have to think the other part is, okay, and that's why the moodometer is a really cool tool, because we can play with that. We did in the seminar at that last chapter. We played out, okay, what if everybody gets a raise that's 3 or 4 or whatever percent, and take that out and then say, let's say their mood is gone back to normal, something at 40. We can look at the probable price. That's a really cool toy, you know?
So I just thought of just something really quick as you were talking to USKO. Chloe's started her journey with USKO when she was, 13 years old. And now this Sunday, she's going to turn 16. So that's the age group where you're considered kind of like the adult, you know? Okay. So if she would have been younger, she would have been testing for a black belt already, but they're going to make her test. She's testing on Friday for her brown belt.
Wow.
So she's close. She's close. That was our deal. She said, you know, I want a VW bug, Dad. That's the car I want. I said, well, you get your black belt and that's what I'll get you. So she stuck to it.
Very cool. Well, what a great place to take karate. You know, it's not just the karate. You're with great human beings and a great family. And that's what attracted me to that place, watching. And it was a kid. I think I told you the story. There was a tournament. I had entered a karate tournament when I was a white belt. And a kid came in and threw up in the trash can. And my heart went out to him, right? Because I kind of felt the same way. I said, are you okay? And he looks at me, he says, yeah, just pre-fight nerves. He ran back out. I thought, oh my gosh, I love this place, you know?
One of the last things that we're going to talk about here on the show is, things happen, you know, unexpected, especially, you know, in the business that we're in, you know, you're going to buy a house and sight unseen. And sometimes they come with a little headache and sometimes they come with the major problems. And it's always been something that I've always heard from you is you get into, you know, you get into this mode, and I'll let you, you know, talk about it and you know, say what you call it.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where, again, I think the reputation of the business to me is everything. And there's been a few instances where you just go, oh, wow. I'll tell the one story about the service gentleman. we've educated a lot of people. Sometimes they call up and they have a wholesale deal. And this is one of those cases, a house in Riverside, where someone called me up and said they had paid $90,000 for the house, hadn't closed it yet. I was just going to take their place, give them 10 grand. And we went through the journey of let's have a termite inspection. Let's do a rehab estimate. And I ended up buying the house. I never fixed it, kind of sat there for a month or two. Business was busy for me. I didn't get to the house. I just said, let's put it in the MLS. So we sold it, made 50 grand or something. And I never thought I'd hear about it again. A year later, I get a phone call. It's a realtor that had sold the property. He said, Bruce, did you know there was a violent death on the property? No. No, well, there was. And the owner is really upset he wasn't told about it because he's in the military. And the guy that shot himself was also in the military. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. So I called up the guy that told me the house. I said, did you know there was a violent death on the property? He said, yes. And I told you that in writing in the contract. And I was just like, if you had a moodometer, mine had gone down to minus one. I mean, that's the most sad upset I've ever been in business, because I felt like there was a human being across town that thought I intentionally hurt him. And I have never felt that in my life. And I mean, I walked out the door, started the car, drove there. And fortunately, he was there. I mean, that's just one of those things. What if he's not there? Well, he was there. And he's on the porch. I walk up. I said, are you Gustavo? He said, yes. And I said, I'm Bruce Norris. He says, your name sounds familiar. I said, I'm the guy that bought the house, sold it to the guy who fixed it, sold it to you. And I just found out that somebody had killed himself on the property. But I also found out that I was told that in writing at the time I bought the house, and I didn't see it. So I'm here to tell you that I'm really sorry that that occurred. And I understand you're upset. You just direct it to me. The other people had nothing to do with it. No way they could have known. And he looked at me and he just said, I cannot believe you just said that. And he said, let's go inside. And so we started talking about it, and he was emotional. And man, I gave him a hug and I said, I'm looking for the medal right now, buddy. I said, let me just buy the house from you. I'll pay you full price, pay off your loan, get your VA loan back, so you can go get another house. He said, you would do that? And I said, oh, heck yeah, I would do that. And he was emotional. And a few minutes, give me a couple of minutes. So he was out of the room for what seemed like an eternity, one of those moments where you go, okay, what's next? I have no idea. He comes back and he's got two medals. And he tells me the story of both of them. And then he says, I want you to have one of these, because what you did today was the gutsiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And there it is.
There it is. You know, I always thought it was just a picture of just a medal, but the picture that we used to have in the slides was actually the medal.
Yeah. Well, and then I get that next morning, I get these emails that I still have with the medal. This is from Gustavo. Good morning, Bruce. My mornings used to be filled with depression and worry about my future. Today begins a new day for me, filled with hope and ambition for my future. Your courage changed my life. God bless you. And then his sister sends me this. Mr. Norris, my brother Gustavo told me of your meeting yesterday. All I can say is a big heartfelt thank you. I think you may just have saved his life. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. So, yeah, I'm getting emotional because it's just interesting when you face down like the most threatening thing you've ever had to deal in with business, to have it come out to be the most positive moment in your business life. What do you do with that, man? I guess you teach it and go, you know what? If you ever have one of those, that's what you do, because it doesn't matter if it turns out bad. You did what you were supposed to do, you know? And, you know, you've got kids. Wouldn't you want your business to have that reputation? I mean, when you can't, you never want to have this happen where your kid works for your business and he was taught to be honest the whole time. And then this event happens and you go, okay, yeah, but we can't do that in business. You know, we have to do this.
Yeah.
I never wanted to utter that sentence. I never wanted him to see that model because it wasn't who we were. And if you stand up, man, you might get surprised at the best day of your life instead of the worst.
Well, you know, and what's really cool, Bruce, is that, you know, I'm sure you've heard it in the past, and, you know, these stories, these lessons, as they resonate with you, how cool is it when an investor comes and says, hey, I had a Gustavo moment. Hey, I had a Garden Grove moment, you know, and that's really when you're like, all right, man, we're making a difference with the things that we do, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been an unbelievable journey from a guy that got fired 5 times in a row to barely getting hired by the property buying company to starting, you know, the Norris Group. Very grateful. That's all I got to say. You know, get to work with people like you and the whole staff, our reputation. It just, yeah, it's been a dream. What can you say? It really has been a dream.
So as we're, you know, getting close to halfway through the year, a couple of things come to mind is, you know, we're almost there where you're, you know, you told us, like, hey, you know, this is probably, the, you know, not probably, but this is the last year that I'm, you know, I'm going to work, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to what we're still going to do the rest of this year. We have the boot camp. We have I Survive Real Estate. You know, we're still going to have, you know, our quarterly updates for the VIP subscribers. But the other thing, you know, July 1st is not only the first of marks the halfway point of the year, but it's always forever going to be ingrained in my mind as, the day that we lost Aaron.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to get emotional. I want to dedicate this show to him, and because I know he's looking down, both of us smiling and knowing that we're carrying on not only your legacy, but the legacy that he has, because everything, folks, everything that I do, you guys always give me so much praise and so much, like, Joey, thank you so much for everything you're doing. You know, the emails, the communication, all that. None of this is possible because just like you had the abundance mentality and teaching and everything, Aaron taught me literally everything that I know in this business. And so everything that I do, from the emails to producing the documents for you, is because he didn't hoard that. He wanted me to learn everything I could, because that's just who he was. And you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. And just knowing that he was in my life for, I met him in 2009. So I knew him before. I worked here for a pretty long time, getting to work with him side by side, going to coffee every day. That was our thing. It didn't feel like work, but yet we kicked some butt. We would really, it was always his fear of being light. You know, he always wanted to overwhelm you with value, whether it was his presentation, whether it was the stuff that we were doing for you that you were going to present, you know, the documents, the seminars. Like, he just wanted to make everybody go, of course it's great, it's the Norris Group, you know.
Yeah, well, it's that part of the Norris Group was great because he touched it. Yeah, up until he touched it, yeah, we had good information, we had maybe great information, but the presentation was pretty much like everybody else's. When Aaron showed up, that changed. Everybody was chasing us. I kept a recording for years until I sold the building. There was a guy always trying to get me to take his course to teach everybody to run to the back of the room and buy stuff, which is the business model I hated the most. And he finally, kind of out of exasperation, he said, at least send me your materials and let me help give you some guidelines on that. And I couldn't wait to send it because Aaron had already touched it. So one of my favorite recordings ever, the guy calls me back after he gets the materials. Bruce, I got your materials. Oh my God. And he told me, he says, you don't have to teach this to individual people. You could take this to corporate America and make big, big bucks. And I just like, no, not what I do. Don't care.
You know, they're talking about how ChatGPT is going to change the world, right? Well, Aaron Norris was a ChatGPT before ChatGPT.
Yeah, with a personality and I think a level of human caring that was unprecedented in for people that I saw. You know, his picture's on the wall, and I just have happy memories. You know, so I can go there, and I have a smile on my face most of the time when I think of Aaron, because that's all I had. Following him where he was before I went was always such a pleasure. Oh, you're Aaron Norris's dad? Oh my God, we love him, you know?
Yeah.
Who gets that? I don't know that my dad ever got to hear that.
You know, he is certainly the person, the best person I've ever met, and I'll probably ever meet, with the biggest heart that I'll ever know. And, you know, I told my son, you know, I told you, you know, the story about the purple bracelet in the senior pictures. And I said, hey, you know, you don't have to wear that, you know, for your pictures if you want, you don't want to. And, you know, he hasn't taken it off, Bruce, you know, since I gave it to him. Wow. And he said, no, Dad, I know the impact that Aaron had in your life. And it's important to me.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, Lucas, I said, I hope in your lifetime you just get one friend, just one friend that's like Aaron.
Amen.
Well, this is why we do what we do. You know, it's the stories, it's the people that we help. And that's why I wanted to put this on the radio show, for people to enjoy. I know they've heard some of these stories, but there's going to be some new investors that are going to, you know, I get emails still, Bruce, like, hey, I'd like to become part of your mailing, you know, because there's still new people that the older people are telling, not old, I mean, by old, by the more experienced people that are saying, hey, you got to follow the Norris Group. So there's still new investors that are coming into the business. And so I hope that this hits home for the guys that have followed us for 20 years and the guys that are just starting to follow us. And that's why I thought it was important that we put it on the radio show.
You know, what's funny, Joey, about stories and retelling ones that people have heard. I attended Jim Rohn's seminar every year. When he didn't tell a story, I was like, I needed to hear that story, man.
You felt cheated.
I even had it on tape and I wanted to hear it live, you know?
That's right. Well, thank you, everybody. We appreciate everything that, you know, you guys do to keep us going, the messages and the emails, and I'm sure you get them too, Bruce, all the time. And we really appreciate it here.
Thank you, Joey. Enjoyed it.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the hard money tab.